there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then 14 generations from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 generations from the exile of Babylon to the Christ. Please welcome Olivia Metcalf for our message.
That was a mean scripture for me to make you read. It'll make sense, I promise, here in a minute. My name is Olivia. My husband Dustin and I, he's over there. We're the chaplains at Northwest Nazarene University, and so we have the privilege of working with your pastor. And he has asked me to come today, and I am so honored to be with you. It's a different thing to get to preach in a church than it is in a university chapel where people are required to attend. So thank you for being here today. It makes my life a little bit easier. What I want to do is to open up the book of Ruth for you this morning. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to go there, we're going to be looking together at this really powerful story. But before we get to Ruth, I want to talk to you a little bit about a cliffhanger. Do we all know what I mean when I say a cliffhanger? So the end of Judges is like this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and each person did what they thought to be right. This is a cliffhanger. It's like when you're watching your favorite television show and they give you a glimpse into what the next episode is going to be like. And before, we had things like Hulu and Netflix, and we had to wait a whole week or maybe a whole summer to find out what was going to happen. A cliffhanger puts you on the edge of your seat. It makes you wonder what's going to happen next. And that's what I think this verse at the end of Judges does. What does it mean that Israel had no king? What does it mean that everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes? Well, Ruth provides the answer for that. If you look at the very first verses of the book of Ruth, you will read this. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem to Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. This might not seem like a very important statement to us. This might not even make a lot of sense to us. We might not have any understanding of why this is important. But if you're paying attention to the end of Judges where it says everyone did what they saw fit, and then you think very carefully about what this family is doing in the beginning of the book of Ruth, we will realize that this family is living into this reality, that they are doing whatever they see fit. They're part of the people of God. They're living in the promised land. And what do? The scriptures tell us that they pack up and they leave the promised land, that they pack up and they leave the people of God, that they pack up and they go to another country with other cultural practices and other gods. What we find is that Elimelech and Naomi and their sons are actually doing whatever they see fit. They go to Moab. And what happens in Moab for this family? Well, it's not a very good time for them. Naomi is there with her husband and her two sons, and while they're there in this foreign land filled with foreign people and foreign gods and foreign practices, her husband dies. And thankfully, she still has two sons, because unlike the culture today where a woman can survive on her own, in the ancient world, it was impossible for a woman to live very long or very well if she did not have a man in her life. So she has her two sons who are going to take care of her. And what we find early on in the book of Ruth is that they married Moabite women. And that these Moabite women become daughter-in-laws to Naomi. And all seems to be going well until tragedy strikes again. And we find that Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi's sons, have died as well. So what is she to do? What is Naomi going to do in this situation? Well, she doesn't have a lot of options, but maybe back in Bethlehem, where the famine seems to have let up a little bit, maybe back in Bethlehem where people will know her, someone will have pity on her, so she decides to go back home. Naomi heads out, and strangely, her two daughter-in-laws go with her. This wouldn't have been a normal custom, but they're going with their mother-in-law. They're going to leave their land and their practices and their cultures and journey with her to Bethlehem. Somewhere along the way, what we find is that Naomi kind of comes to her senses and realizes this is really strange. Why should these girls come with me? They should go back home. And that's what she tells them. She stops on the road and she says to these two young women, go back to your mother's household. Go back to the practices that you know. Go back to where you can get another husband. I'm too old. I can't have children for you. And you're not going to want to wait around for them to grow up anyway. Go back home. And so you have this mother-in-law, Naomi, who is filled with grief and pain, who is trying to figure out what to do with her life, and her daughter-in-laws, who are trying to also figure out what's the next step for us, stopped there on the road. They weep, is what the scriptures tell us. They cling to Naomi. They don't want to go back. And she tells them again, go back home. This isn't right. It doesn't make any sense. And what we find is that Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, makes the decision to, in fact, go back home. And Ruth makes the decision to stick with Naomi. I think one of the most important things about the book of Ruth is to pay attention to the faithful choices that take place within these few chapters. The faithful choices that individuals make in their lives that make all the difference. So Orpah goes back home and Ruth stays, and she gives this beautiful speech that you've probably heard before in chapter 1, verse 16. Don't urge me, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more, if even death separates me from you. This is Ruth's first faithful choice, and it is a hard one that she makes. But before we talk about Ruth, I want to talk just a little bit about Orpah. We don't know a lot about her, but I want to remind you today that we're all invited to make faithful choices every single day of our lives. And we might think, well, Orpah, she wasn't as good as Ruth. She decided to go back home, so we want to sort of dismiss her and say, well, Ruth is the one to lift up. And yes, the book is about Ruth. But can I remind you today that sometimes the hard choice that you're invited to make, the faithful choice that God wants for you, is to go back or to stay. And sometimes the hard and faithful choice that we are invited to make is to go and to do something that we never imagined. So let's not look down on Orpah in this moment, because who knows what message she took back to her people? Who knows what kind of life she was able to live back in Moab? So Orpah makes a faithful choice, I think, as well, and goes back home. And Ruth makes a faithful choice to stick with her mother-in-law. Now, Naomi returns back home, and we find this really troubling way that she responds when she gets back home. In the ancient world and in scripture, names are some of the most important things that you can give your child. And it's not like just the top 10 popular names of your culture and you want to just choose one of those. Names were symbolic of the destiny you imagined for your child. And so you wanted to name them something that would help to tell the story of the life that they might live. And you've probably heard before that Naomi, that her name meant sweet. Well, when she got back home after losing her husband and her two sons, after living through this difficult time of being in this foreign land, after coming back unsure of what her life was going to look like, when the women looked at her and thought, maybe, is that Naomi? Do we recognize her after 10 years? Isn't that who that is? She tells them, yes, it is me. But don't call me sweet anymore. My name is Mara, because I am bitter. In verse 21, she says, I went away full, but the Lord has returned me empty. Ruth has made a faithful choice, and it's a really hard choice to go with her mother-in-law, who wants to be now known as bitter, into a foreign land with foreign practices and foreign culture and foreign gods that she might not understand. Ruth's first choice is a hard one, but it is a faithful one as she journeys with her mother-in-law. The second choice she makes is just an ordinary one, which ordinary choices for us are things that we can do each and every day. And they can also be faithful choices as we're following Jesus Christ. The second choice she makes is to go out into the field and glean because they need something to eat. That's a pretty ordinary human response to a stomach that's growling. We've got to find a way to live. These two women that are alone together in this place, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to go to the field to glean. And we have this beautiful picture of what God wanted his people to be like. That if you were a farmer, you didn't farm, you didn't plow to the edges of your field. And as your workers gathered up what was being harvested, if they dropped something, they didn't go back and pick it up again. But the poor among them could go into the fields and collect what they needed. What a beautiful thing God wanted to provide for his people. If only we lived in that way today. And so you have these two women that really don't have a lot of options, don't have a lot of choices. And God is providing for them. So the ordinary choice, the faithful choice that Ruth makes is to go and to collect the food for them. And what happens to her is that her ordinary choice leads to a kindness. If you look with me in chapter 2, you'll find this, that she meets this man named Boaz who owns the field. In verse 10, they have come into contact with one another, and it says, she bowed down face to the ground and replied to Boaz, "How is it that I found favor in your eyes, that you notice me? I'm an immigrant." Boaz responded to her, "Everything that you did for your mother-in-law after your husband's death has been reported fully to me. How you left behind your father, your mother, and your land of your birth, and came to a people you hadn't known beforehand. May the Lord reward you for your deed." So Ruth made this really hard choice, the first one, to leave. But others have heard the story of this decision, and it is leading to the blessing of God in her life. So as she's in the midst of an ordinary, everyday choice of trying to provide food, she receives a blessing from a man in that community. The third choice that Ruth makes is what I would call a brave choice. We might also call it a crazy choice. Because they're trying to figure out, she and Naomi, what it's going to mean for them to survive. That, yes, we can glean in the fields, but that's not going to last forever. And so Naomi has this great plan, and you've probably heard about this before. Go to Boaz. Go to him on the threshing floor. In the middle of the night, lay down at his feet after he's done his work and he's had too much to drink. He'll find you there, and then we'll see what he does. I don't think that's probably the best advice for us to give to young people these days, but it seems to work in this passage of Scripture. And so the scripture tells us that that's exactly what Ruth did, that she went and obeyed everything that her mother-in-law had said. She lays down at the feet of Boaz. He sees her there, and he decides that he's going to try to marry her. The story tells us that somebody else had rights to her first. Boaz goes through the steps of the law. He works really hard to make sure that it's possible that he can marry Ruth. And that, in the end, is what takes place. Ruth makes this very brave choice. And it's a brave choice, a faithful choice, that changes everything. If you look at chapter 4, you'll see what exactly happens. Because they got married and they had a baby. And in chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 14, this is what the women of the town who had seen Naomi when she came back and weren't quite sure if it was her, and she told them, "Well, just call me Bitter. That's my new name." This is what they say now. The women said to Naomi, "May the Lord be blessed, who today hasn't left you without a redeemer. May his name be proclaimed in Israel. He will restore your life and sustain you in your old age. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you, has given birth to him. She's better for you than seven sons." Naomi took the child and held him to her breast, and she became his guardian. The neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they called him Obed. You see, the choices that Ruth made all the difference. She made a hard choice on the road to go against everything that she was comfortable with, to go with her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem. And if you wonder if it really was a hard choice, go home today and read Ruth and see how many times she's actually called by her name. She's hardly ever called by her name. She's always called a Moabitess. It was obvious she was an outsider to the people of God. But look how God used her life to make a difference. She made a hard choice on the road. And then when they got back to the promised land, to the people of God, she made an ordinary choice. And it made a huge difference for her and for her mother-in-law. And then she made a brave choice. One that has changed everything. Not just for Naomi and Ruth, but for us. My question for us today would be, what are the hard choices that God is calling us to make? Maybe some of you are being faced with the reality that you feel God is leading you and guiding you to do something that's out of the ordinary. Maybe to pack up your family and to go somewhere else. Maybe to change jobs. Maybe there's a really challenging situation in your life that you just sense, God is calling me to do this, and it is so hard. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. Well, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves and take up their cross and follow me. All who want to save their lives lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will find them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Ruth shows us this sort of living. And by the grace of God, we can make the hard choices, the faithful choices that God is calling us to make. He will enable us to live in the way he's inviting us to live. Or maybe you just are faced with some ordinary choices today. Maybe in the midst of your everyday living, there are these choices that you need to make. And maybe, like me, sometimes those ordinary choices sort of irritate you. Like, I don't want to have to do these certain things. I don't want to be responsible for this. It's just a small thing, but time after time, I have to do this ordinary thing. And my heart might not really be in it. My heart might not be right about it. But I want to encourage you today that God is with us in the ordinary things of our lives as well. It's not just about the big and hard things or the brave things that we're called to do. Every single day, every choice we make is an opportunity for the grace of God to come and dwell in us, to transform us, to make us like Jesus Christ. In the ordinary things, you and I have a responsibility. And this is what Jesus says about very ordinary things and about us. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing, except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Give your ordinary, everyday choices to the one who says that you are salt and you are light in this world. The world will be different when our ordinary choices become faithful choices given to God. And maybe, in fact, you are being invited to do something really, really brave. It's not just a hard choice, but it's totally out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're being asked to do something that you just can't imagine that you're equipped for. Maybe you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Maybe God is inviting you to take a step of faith that you just can't even imagine taking. Well, this is what Jesus has to say about that. He came near to his disciples after he was resurrected, and he said, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And here's the word for us if we're being called to be brave. "Look," Jesus says, "I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." We're invited to make hard choices sometimes, and God's grace can enable us to do just that. We're invited to make ordinary choices every single day, but to submit them to the one who can enable us to be the people he's created us to be. And some of us are feeling a little nervous today because we sense that we are asked to be brave in this world, to be a light in a way that we never could imagine. And God wants to enable us to do just that. Now, that mean scripture that was read at the beginning does have a purpose. Because if you look at the end of Ruth, you will find this interesting set of phrases. The end of Ruth, it says this about this baby that was born. "A son has been born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He became Jesse's father and David's grandfather. These are the generations of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David." What we heard earlier is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, was born of the line of David. Little did Ruth know that when she stopped on the road with her mother-in-law, that hard choice that she made would change your life and my life forever. Little did she know that when she was gleaning in the field doing something very ordinary, that very choice was going to make a difference for generations of people all throughout time. And little did she know that that choice that she made to be brave and to go to the threshing floor and to see what might happen would lead to the birth of the Son of God. You see, my choices and your choices matter. We might not see the fruit. Ruth had no idea what all of this meant, but God blessed her faithful choices. May we be people, when it's hard, when it's ordinary, and when it's frightening, trust in the one who is faithful and will provide us the grace we need to make choices that, who knows, might in fact change the world forever.
If you all could please stand with me as we sing the last piece. Thank you, Olivia, for giving